Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Reading in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, we're coming in at a point in the story where Elijah is worn out. He has just had probably the most amazing, glorious showdown with the prophets of Baal, that Canaanite deity that he ever had in his life as a prophet of Israel. And then he gets into trouble, and he's not really prepared for what comes next. So beginning with verse 1 in chapter 19. King Ahab had told Jezebel, his queen, all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts glorify you, O God, heal us, and make us a blessing to our world. Amen. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. I love that ballad from the Gershwin opera Porgy and Bess, probably because I love summer. A whole season that's meant to be lived at a different pace than the rest of the year. Ideally, it's a time of play and rest, renewal and reunion. We have more time with neighbors and family and friends. We get in touch with our own inner child. We recover from the busyness and demands of the previous school year, whether we ourselves are in school or not. We seem to still follow an academic calendar, and we gear up for the next one. Even the air feels different, and lately, you've noticed, in the morning and in the evening, it can be so soft and light, with a gentle breeze wafting the scent of flowers. We get to eat fresh fruit and vegetables, especially berries, sweet corn, tomatoes, and watermelon. We can even eat outside if we want. Life in general is simpler and sweeter. Of course, this is an idyllic vision. I grew up with teachers too, and so summer was different. But any time of transition in life can be less like a garden and more like the desert. It can be a wilderness experience. The Bible is full of both gardens and deserts. And today, as we talk about Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, we want to remember all the different kinds of places life takes us, that God's love takes us to. Or better yet, the places God goes with us to. It's also helpful to remember this when our love for others takes us to places that we might never have imagined we would go. But we end up in anyway because we love someone enough to go there with them. In this, we have a model to follow in Jesus Christ. Sent by God's love for us from the beginning, Jesus went everywhere we humans go and experienced everything that we do, all the highs and lows and everything in between. Even after he returned to heaven, Jesus still prays for us and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It's the fulfillment of this promise of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate in this season of Pentecost in summertime. But before we talk more about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let's go back into the wilderness with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. In the chapter before, Elijah had been on a different mountaintop, Mount Carmel. There, God showed up the prophets of Baal in dramatic fashion. I mean spectacular. You'll have to go back and read that chapter. Oh, the places you can go when God calls, when God empowers. It can be unbelievable. But that's why Queen Jezebel has had quite enough of this prophet. The amazing places we go, the things we say and do there by God's grace, don't always win us friends in high places. I can imagine, too, that Elijah was already exhausted when this threat from Jezebel came to him, and suddenly it was all too much. Haven't we all been there? Everything has been going right, and we've experienced a moment of celebration and triumph. But we now realize all the energy it took for us just to get there. And suddenly now it's strangely quiet. Everyone has gone home. We have no extra resources to meet some new challenge. This kind of place of fatigue and discouragement is another place we humans go. But waiting times that happen then can also be so important in the life of faith. I love the way that the angels meet Elijah where he is when he is exhausted and discouraged, and he runs away to the wilderness. They provide the basics of food and water, safety and rest, so that he can be renewed and recharged. Because Elijah is not done as much as he thinks he'd like to be. He has yet another long journey ahead of him. And on this other mountaintop, God has the question for Elijah to answer. So Elijah, what are you doing here? Of all the questions life asks us, this may be the trickiest and most crucial. What are we doing here? and we need to answer it throughout our lives. It's not as if God doesn't know the answer already. It's Elijah himself who needs to hear himself answer God several times. God's love for us never wavers. God's love for us never ends. It always finds us wherever we are and invites us to listen again, to look again at ourselves and the very same circumstances we have been staring at or living in already for months, even years. Oh, the places we go, and at times try to hide in or escape to. Like Elijah, we can find ourselves in a wilderness, a place where we have to face our demons and ourselves, places where we hear God's voice again and are reminded of whom we serve, places where we hear of God's plans when we thought God only called other people, not us. Or maybe we thought we were all done with that sort of thing, and we had something else in mind now, like simply giving up or just coasting for the rest of our days. Elijah thought he was done and that he alone cared anything about God. So why did it matter if he stopped serving and loving, even living? But God had other plans. People for Elijah to anoint and call into leadership. Did you notice that at the end of the reading for today? There was a whole new beginning ahead of Elijah. How appropriate that in this transition we find ourselves in here at First Pres, our mission study is called New Beginnings. God has wonderful plans for all of us to be part of, and I know that my husband George and my mom and I are so glad to be here. Be a part of it. In the Message, Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible, Psalm 139 reads like this: I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too, your reassuring presence coming and going. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. There is no place in this world that is unknown to God. Sometimes I think we need to remember that. There's no experience we have that is unknown to Jesus. The psalmist goes on to say that God sees him in the dark, and that night he's actually immersed in the light. Darkness isn't even dark to God. Oh, the places God goes. And as I said earlier, the places we may find ourselves going out of love for God and for others in our lives. Maybe there was an issue you thought about only in the abstract at one time, like mental illness or addiction or immigration or transgender identity. Maybe you even had negative feelings about it, or you knew what you'd heard others say. But then one day you meet someone, or you see a story on TV that puts a face on that issue for you. Maybe someone you know and love already comes to you and says that this is actually their story. Can you still love and accept them, they want to know. And suddenly, everything changes. Oh, the places you'll go out of love. Oh, the places God goes out of love for all of us. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus takes his disciples up to another mountain, which he ascends back into heaven from. He says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The disciples thought maybe they were done, but oh no. There was a lot to go in their story. There is no place on earth where Jesus does not go with us, or that the Spirit has not already gone on ahead of us. Or as Gershwin puts it in that ballad from Porgy and Bess, one of these mornings you're gonna rise up singing, and you'll spread your wings, and you'll take the sky. So till that morning, there's nothing can harm you, with mommy and daddy standing. not done. Oh, the places we'll go. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.